Queens of the Court podcast,
and we're back.
We're back. Where were we?
A break from last week.
We're back.
Yeah.
Did you miss us? I wanna have some fun.
Of course they missed us.
Cause we have fun.
How do you not miss us?
Right. It's the Queens of the Court podcast. We're the
Queens of the Court.
Yeah, we're the King Size Queens. I'm Paul Jafrida.
I'm John Hanson.
And we're here to bring you everything you need to know about women's basketball this week.
This week.
This week. We thought that we would begin the show by dishing out the places where you can watch the W this week on regular television. Regular television.
Yeah, drop the sketch.
Sketch. You can watch the Chicago Sky at the Las Vegas Aces this Tuesday, July 2nd on Twitter at 3 p.m. So for all of you who, like, you know, have a desk job and you're just sitting there at 3 o'clock waiting for, you know, the day to be over, just pop on Twitter on your computer and, you know, watch the game.
Yeah, Twitter's a good watch.
Other game you can watch this week is the Minnesota Lynx at the Connecticut Sun, 2 p.m. Saturday, July 6th on ESPN2. Should be a great game. Actually, it's a really good matchup I'm looking forward to seeing, especially with the way the Sun have been playing, to see if the Lynx can take them down.
Yeah, that'll be very fun.
Other big matchups this week that we're looking forward to, Washington Mystics visit the Las Vegas Aces Friday, July 5th at 10:30 p.m.
Ooh.
Should be a very exciting matchup.
Ooh.
You know, Washington looks like the best team. Las Vegas looks like one of the best teams. So
yeah, Washington's still growing, or not growing. Washington's well-established. I meant the Vegas are still growing as a team, and I like
the
it.
Vegas. The Vegas. Is
the Vegas. The Aces.
Yeah, they are. I agree. But they're one of the teams that probably has enough pure talent on their team to beat the Mystics.
Yeah.
Another game we're looking forward to is the aforementioned Washington Mystics visiting the Los Angeles Sparks Sunday, July 7th at 5 p.m. Should be a good match.
That should be another good
Sparks
one.
Have been playing a little bit better this week, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, also looking forward to, on Saturday, the Lynx versus the Sun on ESPN2.
Which we just talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you just said?
It is.
No way. I thought you said the Spark and Mystic.
I did. And then before that, I mentioned the Lynx and the Sun on ESPN2.
Oops.
But that's okay.
That's one of my matchups that I want to watch, though.
Awesome. I want to watch it, too. I'm glad you're here with me today.
I'm here.
Totally didn't. Any other matchups you wanna bring?
What other ones did you say? What other ones did you say? So, I'm really looking forward to the Mystic and Spark. It's going to be great. What do you think?
Do you want to keep rolling, or do you want to re-record?
No. I like this.
All right, let's do it. So you wanted to talk about someone else getting in on the television action?
Canada.
all of Canada.
Yeah. So Canada added 53 live games to their schedule because they didn't have any. And across three different sports networks, which is awesome for the league, awesome for exposure, awesome for the Canadian game, or for the international game, you could say.
Not to be offensive, but who even knew Canada had three sports networks?
Three.
Right?
They might have more.
They probably have more.
Wow.
Shocking.
I mean, it's it's a pretty big place.
It's a big place with not a lot of people.
They got like a couple million.
just pick that out of the.
Yeah. They got a couple million.
So anyway, that is exciting though. Canada getting in on the action, getting some games. There's some really good young Canadian players in the league, and older Canadian players.
I think it's focused on the Canadian player.
Yeah, and that's
like
great.
The 53 games are highlighting their players, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's great. It means they're going to get a lot of Liberty games, but, like, you know, who doesn't love that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. I'm excited about that.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Let's do a quick rundown of a few other things that we just kind of want to mention before we get into like the meat and potatoes of our episode.
Meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes. I just want to shout out to Kara Lawson, heading to the Celtics as an assistant coach. I tweeted out, congratulations, Celtics, because they're the lucky ones, not you. Because you're a fucking catch.
I mean,
girl, we're going to do you up. We're going to take you out. You a catch.
I mean, to be honest, like, she probably had a really good gig going on with ESPN. So, like what she was getting paid, she was doing a ton of games, not only doing women's games, men's games. Like,
yep.
She was all over the place. So, it had to be a pretty good job opportunity in the sense of, like, she's probably an important part of that staff if she decided to take it. Paul just decided to unplug his mic and disconnect things. So we'll see how this turns back on. Hopefully it's seamless.
And he's back.
But yeah.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny that you say that because I'm kind of not, I'm sad that I'm not going to have her commentating on any of my NCAA games anymore.
How do you know she gave it up?
I just have to imagine that, you know, in the middle of the season for the Celtics, she's going to be busy with her assistant coach duties
and not be able to comment. I was
on
thinking
NCAA
games. WNBA games. And I was
NCAA.
Oh, out of season, no big deal, kind of. Yeah. You know,
NCAA. Anyway, but it's super exciting. She's super smart, super capable. Remember that face? That face from
she's so serious.
The 2018 NCAA championship game when Ogunbowale hit the game-winning shot.
Oh, my God.
Rebecca Loeb was like, stone, no way!
Yeah. Her stone cold, just like...
pursed lips.
Yeah.
Wide-eyed, I'll give her that.
Yeah, she was like, shocked, but right. No, I'm in the moment. I still got a job to do.
Unflappable.
Yeah.
Yeah, love her. That should be on our intro. Unflappable.
Totally.
No? All right. Moving on.
Whatever you want our intro to be, baby. She's a beast.
Yo, Kara Lawson is a beast.
I know. That's why I did you not hear me just play that sound clip of you saying, she's a beast.
NBA 2K video game is getting WNBA players and their likenesses in its next iteration. What is that, NBA 2K20?
Yep. Cover athlete is Anthony Davis and Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade, that's an intriguing
choice. It's the, like, Legends edition of it, which is fine because
anyway,
he retired.
But the point that we care about is that the WNBA are getting into this game. Now, they've been in NBA Live for a couple years.
Yeah, what, 2 years or something.
So what
like
makes
that.
This more special?
2K has the biggest reach of them all. It is... such a big game. They have esports leagues with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. All these basketball teams have, all the NBA teams have their own esports league and team that they support. So maybe we get some support in that. Maybe it's just going to help grow the game. I just think the exposure of having them in the game, and they are doing it right by giving them the correct likenesses. They brought in all the big players and all the girls to have them done up with all the CGI and everything so that they could put them in the game exactly how they look.
That's dope.
Yeah.
No, I think it's great. I think it's definitely helps with exposure. I guess it's different than NBA Live because NBA 2K is kind of like the premier basketball video game.
It's huge.
So it's great for exposure. It's great to broaden the reach of the game. Maybe the WNBA teams can get esports leagues. Yo, what if we could be part of an esports team?
Why don't we start it?
You heard it here.
You heard it here. Don't take our idea.
Let's talk about World Pride.
World Pride, real quick.
World Pride.
It's right
in
now.
New York City.
It was yesterday.
Yesterday.
It's over. Pride's over. You can already see that the big companies have already changed all.
WNBA has changed their logo.
Everybody's changed their logo instantly. They're like, nope.
No more Pride.
No more Pride.
Bye rainbows.
So, real quick on it though, WNBA had a huge float in the World Pride parade here in New York City, which was where World Pride was at. Mm-hmm. They had an extra like 5 million people in town, just everybody going nuts.
So much pride.
And a bunch of former players and active players from the Connecticut Sun all joined up, got on the parade float, and were giving out shirts, towels, all kinds of merch and stuff, and merchandise.
Oh.
just giving out a ton of different stuff and just having a bunch of fun and pushing the game. And awesome. The NBA was there to support as well. You know, Jason Collins, the out player. You, boop, boop, boop.
One gay player in the NBA.
One gay player. But we like you. I'm a Nets fan, so I love Jason Collins. And he's on your coaching staff for the Warriors, your team.
I'm not complaining.
Yeah, love him. And then active player Jabari Parker, which was awesome as well.
No, not gay.
Yeah, but like, you know, Courtney Williams was there, you know, and then some other active players from the Connecticut Sun. I forget who. I just saw a quick picture, and then some former players, which was great.
That's awesome. Yeah. World Pride, way to support. Sun.
Go Sun. We like the Sun.
Go Jabari.
Yeah, that.
All that. So,
where'd you go?
Oh, we're talking about, next topic.
What's the next?
So, big stories of the week.
What you think?
I feel like
what's the first one? What's your headline?
Headline is Connecticut Sun, deja vu.
So, you think the bigger story is them falling from grace than the Mystic rolling and rocking and rolling?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, the way I see it, the Connecticut Sun started the year 9-1, looking absolutely dominant, beating the Mystics twice, looking every bit the number one team, very similar to how it looked last year when they started 7-1. Last year, they started 7-1 and then fell to 10-10.
That's bad.
This year, they started 9-1 and they lost 3 in a row. Now, granted, it was a tough road trip, but we watched some of the footage. We watched some of the games, and they just don't look as sharp.
Yeah, no, they don't. And it could be from the fact that they don't have a true star.
Hmm.
And basketball is just a star-driven league. Basketball in general.
What about Jonquel?
She hasn't been there scoring-wise lately. I mean, she's getting double-doubles and doing what she's supposed to do.
But she's not that true, yo, I need a basket, go get this.
Maybe she is, right? But she hasn't seemed to realize that yet.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Maybe like that's within her, but she doesn't, yeah. She doesn't know that that's
like
what she can do yet.
Yeah, I don't think, she used to have Chennai on the team, and maybe that's what her role was, and she didn't think that that was part of what she should be doing, and the team plays a very, non-star, whoever's tonight's night, we're going to play it based on matchup kind of basketball.
Yeah, really balanced.
Yeah, real balanced, which hot is hand. Cool, which is, I like it.
But what if no one has the hot hand?
Yeah, and yeah. You need baskets, and you need somebody to be like, I feel like right now, I'll take over for this part of the game, and then maybe some of you will figure this out tonight, and we'll just squeak out this game. We'll fight for this game. We'll dig for this game. It doesn't seem like they have that right now, and you need that. Every other team can just be like, "Hey, we're not getting it done. Go get us some baskets to a player on their team, basically."
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the Fever don't have that exactly right now. They're the other team.
I'm not sure if the Dream really has that right now. But a lot of the big teams...
But what's the name? What's her name will be back?
Angel McCautry?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But they don't have her right now.
Yeah, we don't have her right now. But, most of the teams have somebody that they'll just be like, all right, go get us some baskets. Like, keep us in a game.
Yeah.
As bad as we were talking about the Liberty earlier in the season, they could just go give it to Tina Charles, and she'll help them win a game. Look at...
Work, girl.
Look at the Wings. Hey, Arike. Already. A rookie. Try and help us win one of these games. We're going to just rely on you. They don't really have that.
Yeah. No, and I think that that's by design in a lot of ways, and I think that that's part of why they're good and part of why they've won a lot, but it starts to catch up to you at some point. You know, definitely when you get to the playoffs, you know, you want that player that you know you can rely on to drop, you know, 25 or whatever it may be when you need it. And in contrast, when we look at, you know, what your other big headline was, which was, you know, the ascension of the Mystics to the number one spot, you know, they're star-studded. You know, they've got, you know,
stars.
They've got former MVP Elena Delladon, and then they've got, you know, other stars around her like Chrissy Tolliver.
Yeah. It's
what do you like from the Mystics right now?
What's not to like? That's the real question. Like, what do they do that you're like, you're clearly the best? Because what don't they do? They know the system really well. They pass really well. They find the open man, but, you know, they recognize that Chrissy Tolliver is the general out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really good.
One of the highest basketball IQs.
Yeah, and you could tell she's a fucking coach, you know? Yeah. Like, on her side gig, she's a coach. That's how smart she is. And it's awesome that they're playing the way they are, because you want that dominance. Like, it's awesome to watch. They go out there and they make it look easy when it's not, in a league where all these teams are really good.
And they're deep, right? They get good production off the bench. You know, they get, it's not just Elena Delladon and Chrissy Tolliver.
No.
And so at some point, do you attribute that to really strong coaching or good team chemistry? Or
yeah, there has to be something to be said that this team is basically the same starting team from last year. Mm. And they went to the finals last year. And when you have Delladon healthy and the team really working, it's really impressive to watch. What they did to the Sun was just like a dismantling of their team.
How would you coach against the Mystics?
Stop everybody else. Deladon's going to get what she gets. Best player, best defensive players on the role players, and trying to make sure they're not the ones that hurt you. Deladon's going to get hers. You can't. She proves it with every shot she takes. If she's guarded hard, she's going to shoot over you. She's still going to get that look.
She's got that silky touch.
Honestly, there's points where, like, if she needs to get a shot off fast, she's got a quick release. She's
really tall. She has a high release.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, she's going to get it, and she's going to do what she does. And she might have, like, a little bit bad a shooting night from three. She'll go inside and go to the line 10 times and make every one of them, too. So,
yeah.
It's just her game so impressive that you got to try and figure out ways to shut down the rest of the team.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think for me, I'm trying to play at the fastest pace of play I possibly can against the Mystics. I think that would be my strategy, would be to just, you know.
You want
to
play faster against them?
I want to play really fast against them. I want to make them run a lot.
Yeah, but they kind of like that, though. They're one of the few teams that goes out there and I think almost all the time has a chance to score 100 points. And that's something to be said about how they play in fast-paced situations, how they shoot the three ball.
So I think their half-court defense looked incredible to me when we watched the game.
Okay, that's fair.
Think that you know, what happened to the Sun is they ended up in these half-court sets against the Mystics and it just couldn't penetrate the defense and lost by 40 points. And because the Mystics play, you know, a really strong brand of defense right now, and that's how they're getting their points, is running in transition. I think it starts with pushing the ball as fast as humanly possible on a make, on a miss, whatever it is. Make the Mystics uncomfortable on defense. Don't make it easier for them to get in their half court set.
I get what you're saying, and there's something to be said about, you know, just trying to make them uncomfortable.
That's why I look at a team like maybe Seattle as a team that could give them trouble, because Jordan Canada's just got one of the highest motors, one of the fastest point guards, and Natasha Howard is super quick and athletic, and I think both of those players you know, could are players the type of players that could give the Mystics trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know many teams that are going to be able to give them trouble this whole year in that style like that you're talking about.
I think that's how Connecticut beat them the first couple times.
Yes. Yes, you're right. It's a hard game to play against them if they are hitting their shots, though.
Yes, and if they're getting back on D quick.
Because it's, yeah, if they're hitting their shots, which it and gets them back on D pretty quick, you know, because of that, it just, they, look what they did. They just were like, here, we're going to beat you by 40.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Sun just, yeah, they have a problem if they're not hitting their threes, if, you know, Strickland's not hitting, if, you know, Jonquel's not, you know, taking the ball to the hoop the way she can. That team, it could be hard-pressed to score a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, good on the Mystics, sad for the Sun.
But they're still 1-2.
We're still saying the Sun are a great team.
Exactly.
We love how they play. We love their style
but
of basketball.
But they got to right the ship.
Yeah.
They can't lose four in a row. No. Gotta get back on track.
Yeah, my God.
All right, so you wanted to talk about some rookies today, too.
I want to talk about the rookie class. Yeah, yeah, I'm getting way more impressed with what's going on by a lot of them. And
give me your top three.
This is what we expected, right? We expected this class to be this was a very high caliber class.
Absolutely.
That was coming out. We said it all year. We expected a lot out of them, and we were actually really surprised. We were almost like,
yeah,
we stopped doing our rookie spotlights,
yeah,
because it was hard to spotlight them when nobody was doing anything.
And there have been some injuries. There were some, like, lapses, you know. And then
totally.
There have just been some adjustments, you know, getting used to the league.
Yeah, you know. Arike was out for a couple of games. Katie Lou's been out.
Right.
You know, like, people that we expected to do some stuff. Nafisa's shown up almost all year.
Yeah, she's been really strong.
Yeah, so my top three, I'll go really quick, I guess, right now. With
Rookie of the Year candidates right now.
Nafisa won. Arike 2, Jackie Young 3, and Jackie Young's is based upon everything else she does. She hasn't scored all that much, which is almost kind of what she did in college, but her team's just, you know, that team is so talented that if she just does her role, it's very effective for their team.
She's been racking up a lot of assists lately.
A lot.
And I think there's good tandem with her and Asia Wilson and
that's
Liz
what I mean.
Cambage.
Like, I think they're starting to understand where they all fit in this offense. You got to see better games out of Kelsey Plum and Kayla McBride.
That was a rough week for them.
Yeah. But they have such a strong team that if they all figure out their roles the correct way and understand how to play together, they're going to be one of the top teams. And that's because of Jackie Young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her being able to fit into that offense and do what they need her to do. Because she could do so much.
Right. She has a chance to elevate them to that next level.
Totally.
If she really gets there.
Yeah, imagine she starts figuring out how to score 10 to 14 a game.
Yeah.
Just mixed in, just doing the smart plays, like a smart, like, quick basket here or something like that. I'm not saying she's going to go out there and rip you 20 points or 30 points in a game like she could at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I think she could do for that team.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Nafisa Collier has been just a rock all year. She leads all rookies in points. You know, she's, you know, has a great field goal percentage at 48%. You know, she's shooting her threes. You know, she's boarding. She's assisting. She's doing a lot, you know. She leads all rookies in steals, you know, second in blocks. She's solid. It's hard to think that someone else is going to take Rookie of the Year away from her.
That's what I mean.
But, you know, I would say that Asia Durr, I would also throw in that conversation. Lately, she's
who's
really,
your 1-2-3?
My 1-2-3 would be Collier, Durr, and Ogunbowale.
So Durr and head of Arike right now?
I would put definitely ahead of Jackie, but I would put Ogunbowale as 2, despite whatever, you know, shooting woes or efficiency she's getting. she's the player that they're turning to, that Dallas is turning to make a shot. And they started off really bad, and they've actually won a bunch of games.
Yeah.
And Ogunbowale, and they've been tight games, but, like, you know, that's why he drafted Arike Ogunbowale for the tight games.
Totally.
You know? And so I think that she's...
Huge second half last game.
Yeah, and she just continues to be the same kind of dynamic player she was in college. She's not always going to, you know, have the biggest scoring number or the most, you know, the best, you know, shooting percentage, but she just finds ways to help you win.
Yeah, she's super impressive. I mean, she has a game where she goes 2 for 23.
2 for 23.
And then turns it around with a, like, I think she finished, like, 7 or 8 for 12 last game.
Uh-huh.
And then 19 points, 15 in the second half. The game-winning shot late, like, Arike. That's Arike, you know? Like, that's what you expect out of her. She is somebody that last game totally off her back. Arike. Like, I totally forgot.
Fearless.
Didn't even happen.
Fearless, yeah. Super confident. Yeah, totally.
And it's one of those things. It's like she'll always be a matchup problem because of speed and and her fearlessness.
Yeah, and she does have quite good court vision as well. And she's starting to rack up more assists, I think, now that she's having the ball in her hands more. But, you know, speaking back to what you were saying about the 2-for-23 night, you know, she went 2-for-22, and Brian Hagler was like, I want you taking the game, potential game-winning shot.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, that's what's special about her.
Yep.
Is that she doesn't sit there and go, no, I'm having a bad night, you got to give it to someone else. Yeah. She's like, give me the ball.
Give me the ball, I want it.
Yeah.
I want it, give me it.
Yep. So, yeah, those are my top three. I think Jackie, you know, is doing a great job supporting the rest of that team.
But wouldn't you but say just that's what think... Asia Durr is doing? She's playing more of a support role, and I think Jackie's doing it better.
No, I think Asia Durr is scoring the ball at a pretty high clip these days. She's second among rookies in scoring. She has double Jackie Young's points on the year.
What about assists and rebounds?
So Jackie Young leads, you know, rookies in assists at 54. Asia Durr has 19.
That's a big difference.
Jackie too. Young has 41 boards. Asia Durr has 14.
Big difference.
I'm not saying that it's not a big difference, but, like,
they're both
that's
playing
not
the
what
same
you
position,
expect
though.
Asia Durr. No, but that's not what you expect from Asia Durr. You expect her to score, and she's looked at on that team as a number 2 or 3 scorer on, you know, on that team behind Tina Charles, maybe behind Kia Nurse. But Jackie Young,
I think when Zowie B is there, and I think it's Zowie B, Tina Charles, and Kia Nurse are all in front of Asia Durr in who you want to be scoring right now.
Well, I just disagree. I'm just saying. I think Asia Durr, for me, is ahead of Jackie
That's
Young
fair.
In the Rookie of the Year discussion.
Fair enough.
Nothing against Jackie or, like, you know, what she's doing for that team.
Okay, I'm just discussing, debating.
That's just where I'm at.
Fair enough.
How about Phoenix? Won a few games. They started 2-5. Everyone was like, yo, what is going on with Phoenix?
Yeah.
They've won the last 3 games. Even though Diana Taurasi has not made her return.
Yeah, where'd she go?
Even though we, like, it was like, she's going to be back. Ah, psych, she's not back.
Nope, lied.
Still not back. Still not back.
Yeah.
Okay, what's going on?
I think it was
conditioning?
Just...
Conditioning? Is it a setback?
I think it's part of the conditioning.
They've been hush-hush.
Hush-hush. I think it's part of the conditioning. I think it's part she's older. And you want to give her the time to recover, the time to, you know, get back into that game shape. She had a few days of full-on practices where she was even saying, oh, I'm going to be back. I'm going to try and play. And maybe it was just, you know, she didn't feel her body is quite ready to what it used to how she used to, you know, come back from injuries. I think it's one of those things they set the timetable. She was coming back at week 8-ish, 9-ish. It was like in between that, and they were like, let's give it the full 10 to 12 weeks, what we said. I think we've righted the ship, and we'll stay afloat where we need to be. Why push it?
Yeah, do you think there was maybe some pressure to get her back sooner because they were losing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you touched on that, and like you said, that might have been something that could be the issue.
And Sandy Brondello said, you know, when talking about Diana Taurasi, that, you know, it's not even just like the points that they miss. It's the leadership, the movement of the ball, the vision, the playmaking, just
the
everything
spacing
else
on the court is totally different when she's out there.
Yeah.
She's got Steph Curry range, you know? She'll shoot it from anywhere. She's fearless on what she does. She's been doing it forever, and you always have to respect that.
And she makes everyone around her better.
Yeah. You're talking about one of the all-time greats.
I mean, the GOAT as of now.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like, being on the court, you have to, every time, you're playing a totally different defense against that team when she's out there.
Yeah.
And when you're able to collapse on Dawana Bonner and Brittany Griner on the inside harder because she's not out there, it changes what they're able to do on the inside.
Yeah.
So I just think it's awesome that, you know, when she's out there, that she's able to affect the game the way she does.
Ooh, I'm getting excited for Diana Taurasi to come back.
Yeah. You know, I want as many years more I could get out of watching her play.
Yeah, I'm excited for her to come back. And I think the truth is that, you know, it'd be great for Phoenix if they could, you know, go on a big winning streak and get one of the top spots, you know, going to the playoffs. But I think that as far as they're concerned, if they get into the playoff picture, they're a threat to win it. Doesn't matter whether they're one seed, eight seed, doesn't matter.
Totally. And I think this has been, you know, I think this has been really good for their team to, with their rookies that they brought in, to give them some time to figure out, like, what we can use them as on this team with her.
Yeah, they've
being
got
out
three rookies on the roster, don't
that are,
they?
Yeah, and that are, you know, we looked at as that they had a great draft. Elena Smith, you know, Sophie Cunningham, and Brianna Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the ways they can figure out to use them while Diana Taurasi's out will help them. Like, it's helped.
You were telling me that Sophie was having a great
week. Yeah, she had a 19-point game, and then she played a bunch of the last game. Like, they're giving her more minutes, and she has that attitude that you want in an NBA, a WNBA player.
Yeah, she's got grit.
She's going to go out there, and she's going to be like, yeah, you beat me this last play. I'm going to beat you this play.
Yeah.
Like, I love that type of mentality and love seeing it for that team.
Yeah.
I really think that, yeah, like you said, as long as they get a playoff spot, they're a threat to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, what else? What else you got?
Spotlight Queens.
Ooh, queen girl, what up?
You want to do some spotlighting?
Yeah, I'll spotlight.
Spotlight some queens.
So I'm going to do Chinay Agumake. Did I do it again?
Chinay Agumake?
Agumake. Am I saying? Am I getting?
Yeah, Agumake.
Agumake.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So Chinay.
Your girl Chinay.
Your girl.
I love.
She
that that's
is
like how she
amazing.
Herself.
Yeah, she's so
it's
fun.
It's your girl Chinay.
So,
hey girl, you're my girl.
What I love about her, and the reason why I'm giving her the shout out, is because she is one of the hardest working people out there.
She crushes.
She does so much for the game. She does so much for women's basketball by being the personality she is and being the way she is. She's all over ESPN. She, the other night, boom, goes, or last night, she goes, drops a double-double in the Sparks win. And then is like, oh, I'm going to go do ESPN and jump on ESPN and do their free agency coverage. And just, boom, right on TV right after the game. It's awesome.
Right? She, like, got out of that uniform so fast and
then
glammed up.
Yeah, glammed up,
looking
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then just spitting facts.
Yeah,
she
knows, so smart.
Knows the game so well, knows everything about basketball. Understands the X and O's, is so good. Like, she's one of those people that after she's done playing, she can go do whatever she wants. She can go coach. She can go be.
Yeah.
She
could
be like, she could be one of the faces of ESPN for a while,
totally,
just because of how fun she is too. And if you go on her Instagram is, hold on, I moved my notes. So her Instagram is Chinay321. So Chinay321 on Instagram. So go there, follow her. You can go watch her story last night. It was like her journey of playing in the game, going to ESPN right after the game, getting all glammed up.
So good.
Then getting on TV, and it had like all of it right there, and like how awesome and how fun she is while she's doing it. And so, yeah, check her out.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm a big fan. She's such a hard worker and an amazing ambassador for not just women's basketball, but just basketball. And,
totally.
You know, really positive community figure, too.
She is the type of person that will be able to help link the WNBA to the NBA for those fans, to bring in NBA fans because of how good she is and how fun she is.
And how smart she is.
And how smart she is.
Yep, I agree. We salute you.
Who do you got?
So, my spotlight queen this week is none other than former purple-haired Chicago Sky center Stephanie Dolson.
Love.
The other day, John and I were playing a WNBA one-on-one match in NBA Live. Because we love playing WNBA games.
Yep.
And I was the Chicago Sky, and you were
Vegas.
Vegas Aces.
Shit at all.
And I don't talk about that. But I was like running up the court, like, you know, with these dope layups and post moves with Steph Dolson. You're like, yo, who's that purple hair chick? I'm like, right? She used to have purple hair because she's so cool.
Yeah, love it.
So, yeah, Stephanie Dolson is my spotlight queen.
Didn't we see her?
She was on the LaChina's Above the Rim podcast when we were at the Final Four. We sat in and we watched the podcast, and it was great.
She was awesome.
Yeah, and Steph Dolson's great. She's got a great personality. She's one of those people who's
isn't she a UConn grad?
She what?
Didn't she go to UConn?
She is a UConn alum.
UConn.
And she's one of those players who just, you know, seems so comfortable in her own skin and just really has an easy way about her. Her Instagram is fantastic. She's a fashionista. She's, you know, a community leader. She posts all kinds of fun glam shots and, you know, basketball shots. And she's just kind of like a quirky person.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm a big fan of hers. Her handle is at Big Mama Steph. Love.
That's amazing.
Big Mama Steph.
Yeah, so go follow her. I just followed her.
BigMamaStef at Big Mama Steph. Stephanie Dolson.
Dope.
And she crushes on the court.
Crushes.
WNBA All-Star. And like, you know, she's doing a great job, you know, as part of the Sky that's, you know, surprising people this year.
Totally.
So yeah, go Steph.
Totally. Oh, that's a reminder right there. Go vote WNBA All-Star.
Yeah, WNBA All-Star voting.
WNBA All-Star voting. Go do that. And also buy a WNBA League Pass. Boop, 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 boop.
Definitely buy WNBA League
Pass. So cheap. Just do it.
It's $17 for the entire season. If more people buy League Pass, it could really help the league and really help these players get paid what they deserve.
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it. The games are so good. It's so exciting and fun.
Yeah.
Good fundies.
Fundies.
Watch the women.
All right. Well,
shout out to the U.S. Women's National Team playing England in the FIFA World Cup semifinals tomorrow. Woo woo.
Woo woo.
Megan Rapinoe, which is awesome.
Yeah. But
married to Sue Bird. There's a connection. Boom. Queens of the court.
Queens of the court. So. Is that it?
Do we have that's any? It. I mean, that's it. Queens of the Court podcast. That's us. We're the king size queens.
Queens of the Court.
I'm Paul Jafrida.
I'm John Hanson. Yas.
Yas, girl. Yeah, that's it for our show this week. And thanks for listening. And remember to make it rain.
Make it rain, girl. Make it rain.
Bye.